Look, if you will, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, unto his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, in the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your precious and wonderful word. And we ask you now to speak to all of us today, but particularly to encourage those who are graduating as they look forward to what lies ahead. We thank you, Lord, for your guiding and gracious hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want to say in graduating and moving on is that sometimes circumstances must be left in God's hands. Now, I don't mean bad things are going to happen. But you know, life doesn't always work out perfectly the way we would like for. And in this case, I look to the man Daniel, because Daniel was simply a teenager when this event occurred. And what happened was, in Daniel's life, they'd been living in the land of Israel, but for some 200 years, the nation had been rebelling against God. And so God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to come in and conquer them, to destroy the temple, and take Daniel back to captivity into the land of Babylon. And that's where he spent the rest of his life. And Daniel was probably a young man of no more than 16, 17, 18 years of age, taken from his land and taken back to captivity. And so the first principle I'd like you to know is, your circumstances are in the hands of God. Now that don't mean bad things are going to happen. God is very gracious and very good, and much of our lives oftentimes is characterized by good things. But Daniel found himself in the midst of something God was doing overarching that really had no part to do with Daniel's life other than using him. But it was no fault of Daniel. He just found himself in those circumstances. I'm sure young people found themselves in circumstances in World War II. It's not what they expected, but those circumstances came up. And I'm not saying those circumstances will happen, but one of the things that life must bring is you and I face obstacles and challenges and difficulties in life. There are many good things that happen, and God is very gracious to us to bless us. But sometimes there are circumstances. Sometimes there are difficulties. Sometimes there are obstacles. And you and I must do as Daniel, and we just have to leave those things in the hands of the Lord. Daniel was a man who was very educated. And he was brought back to be educated under the king Babylon. And he was a very gifted young man, and he found himself in a situation in which, from what we know in Scripture, he was never able to go back to his homeland. Never able to. He'd been taken captive, and this was now going to be Daniel's life. But if you study Daniel's life, Daniel trusted God. Daniel depended on God. He lived for God, and he faced what was ahead with grace and trust in God. And so I say to graduates and to all of us, sometimes circumstances come about, and it's no respecter of young or old, they come. But you and I must take them as they come. We must take them as they're presented and trust God, depend on God, and know that in the plan of God, God is working all things out to good in the life of Daniel. So often people trip over life. There's some people who trip over life. And maybe give up on God or give up on things because of the circumstances of life. And you cannot give up on God. You cannot give up on His loving care and His trust. You know, you're going to face a test. You might not do as well sometimes. We get calls every once in a while, they didn't do as well, or this was tough, or whatever. That's part of life. And there are obstacles that must be met, and must be challenges that must be achieved, and there is a direction to go in. And no matter what lies ahead, it's not going to be like Daniel. But there are circumstances that come, and you have to learn to trust God as they come. If I were to raise my hand and say, Lord, I'd like to know what all is ahead, I wouldn't want to know. When I was a young man heading out into life, and I were to raise my hand and say, Lord, I'd like to know what all you're going to do the rest of my life, I wouldn't have wanted to know. I remember when I graduated from seminary and just met Deanne, and we were engaged and going to be married. And then we come back and my father dies. He passes away. Well, that ain't what I was expecting. Difficulties sometimes come. Trials sometimes come. But God is gracious. And I don't mean those things are going to happen. But in the circumstances of life, you're going to face challenges. And trust God. He's with you. He's for you. He's never against you. But then there's a second thing. Not only are there circumstances we face, but look in verse 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Don't you notice the little word, he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. Daniel, though taken into captivity, taken away from his family into an entirely new environment, Daniel purposed. He made the decision ahead of time that he was going to be committed to certain standards. He was going to be committed to a certain standard. This was not a standard that anybody would really make a big to-do about. He could have easily compromised in this situation. He could have easily done this thing. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to obey the Old Testament as far as the food they were to eat. It really would have not been that big of a deal had he done it, but he wanted to be obedient to the word. And so he purposed in his heart that he would be obedient. And so I say, give you the second challenge. Not only will there be circumstances you leave in God's hand, but there must be commitment to a standard. You've both been raised right. You both have some standards. And we must be committed to them. We live in a day, sad to say, in which the walls of standards are coming and crumbling down. And they're just simply crumbling. We live in a world where politicians actually promote and defend all of the breaking down of basic standards of decency. And so I challenge you and I challenge all of us. Somewhere in our lives, we can't just take life as it goes and make some decision as it comes. We have to have some standards like Daniel that he purposed in his heart. He made the decision ahead of time that I will not disobey in this area. And I don't have to list to you some of those. You've been raised properly and you know those standards. But there must be a commitment to certain basic standards, because they're going to tell you the world isn't going to help you. They're just not going to help you. I don't think Paul would mind when he went off to college to ABAC and then went to Georgia Tech and lived in the dorm. One of the first things he did was he sat down with, he was in a place with an apartment. He had his own room and they had shared room and there were four different rooms. And they shared a little common area. And when he met with all the boys both times, he sat down with them and said, you know, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but I'm a Christian and I love the Lord. And there are just some things I don't do. And I just want y'all to know that. I'm not going to impose upon you anything or criticize you. But but don't make fun of me or anything of that nature. This is just the way it is, and I'm going to follow these standards. And never had any trouble. I want you to notice something that Daniel did. Notice what he did in verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Did you notice God brought him in favor? And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face is worse lacking than the children which are of the sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel and his three friends, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fatter and fairer in flesh than all the children which eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse or gave them vegetables. Now I want to give you that illustration and show you this. To be Christian in a sinful world does not mean we have to be ugly about it. Daniel didn't just say, hey, I don't do that. And that's the end of it. He wasn't that way. He said, listen, God had given him favor. He said, listen, let's try to work out an arrangement where you just feed me for 10 days, your job will be protected, and he knew that God would protect him and watch over him, and sure enough, it all worked out. And I say that for this reason. You know, to have standards and values many times, not in national terms, you will find favor. Just as Daniel found favor with the prince of the eunuchs. I'm going to tell you something. Living by a standard, even though the world may persecute us at times, even though the world may hate us at times, you will find many, many people whom God will favor you with because you hold to a standard. It's not just black and white. It's not if we serve the Lord, everybody's going to hate us. That's not true. If we are faithful to the Lord and faithful to standards, you may find that God may favor you in ways that he will not favor others who live immoral lives. If I were a boss man and I'm getting ready to hire someone, would I want someone who was a lazy, good for nothing, who was always late, who was always drunk, who didn't care about the job? Or would I want to hire someone who was faithful and responsible and a hard worker? I guarantee you, even the unsaved know who's best. You see, because we say we are committed to a standard, don't feel like you're the only one. There's a lot of people in our world who have standards. It isn't as it may appear in the world. It isn't as there appears in the situation that you see that everybody doesn't have standards. There are many people who love the Lord and have standards. When I went to college at Valdosta State, I was in the theater department. You won't find a more wacko group of people than theater people, let me tell you. I know wacko people. I'd be sitting there one day and one guy said, what you reading? He said, I'm reading my satanic Bible. Oh, okay. And I was Christian, but I didn't wear it on my shoulder. I just did the best I could and been faithful to it. And I was well respected by most of them. They would even come up to me and say, you know, we don't agree with you, but we respect you. There was one particular fellow who was of a sort of an immoral character. And he said, you know, I definitely don't agree with you, but I do respect you for being a decent person and not trying to lord it over me and make me feel so bad. You can be a fine, decent, God-honoring person and not be strange. Let me tell you, you can be a decent person. Daniel purposed in his heart. Did you see in verse 4, these were children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom. They had ability. They eventually came before the king. And notice in verse 18, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them unto before Nebuchadnezzar and the king, communed with them, and among them all was found none. Did you catch this? None like Daniel and his three friends. Therefore stood they before the king. I'm going to tell you something. Christians ought to be the best at what we do. And we ought to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord because we do follow certain standards, but we're not self-righteous and we're not arrogant and we're not proud about it and we are gracious as much as we can be. God took this young man, Daniel, and put him in the presence of the king of Babylon, who was not a Christian, and honored him and blessed him, even though Daniel had standards. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I want to encourage anyone that when you are committed to standards, it doesn't mean we have to be oddball people. There's a few oddball people who name the name of Christian. Christians ought to be just normal, hardworking, decent, loving, kind, gracious people who enjoy life. And God will favor you. I'm going to tell you. I know for a fact. God will favor you among the unsaved if you are gracious and kind while at the same time you can maintain your standards. I mean, folks, I'm not going to tell you how long it was before I graduated from high school. It was 10 years ago, I think. But it's been a while anyway. And we had drinking. We had all that. I was one of the ones that didn't do that, but was still well respected. Didn't participate, still well respected. You know what I'm talking about. Not everybody is wicked. There are some good, decent, kind, gracious young people in this world. There are. And we have two of them today. And there are fine Christian young people. Not all of them have gone down the tubes. There are some good ones who have standards, who do love the Lord, who do care, and who will make an impact in their world. And so I encourage you, do not be afraid to stand for some standards, but understand, God's going to bless you. I'm not talking about being some, ooh, you know. That's what people think Christians are. Ooh. Oh, I got something from the Lord today. Ooh. Well, I read my Bible and I heard from the Lord telling me to go out and be kind and gracious and loving and all the things that are responsible that make part of a Christian life. God will favor people. If you don't think so, you think all of Washington's crackpots, which we all do, I'll guarantee you when Hannah took her little trip up there, you'll find out there's a whole bunch of Christians in the midst of that. You think our colleges have grown crazy? There's a whole bunch of Christians who do love the Lord. There are a whole bunch of Christians out there. There are a whole bunch of decent young people. So I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to stand and be committed to a standard. And then lastly, turn, if you will, to chapter 10. Chapter 10. You won't understand what I'm saying now, but I'm going to say it. Chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. That's all I'm going to say. God communicated to Daniel. You know when he did this? You notice this isn't the same king. This occurred in 538 BC. Daniel was taken into captivity in 605 BC. This is 70 years later. And Daniel now had reached such the pinnacle in life that now when Cyrus the Great came and conquered Babylon and brought Persia in, Daniel was simply in the same position. Same position. And now he served under Cyrus the king. What I say to you this is, you must realize that all circumstances